Hello, Malcolm here, and welcome to Quiet Time Coaching episode 14. Welcome and thanks for joining me. As you can see, I'm not in my usual surroundings. I've been down in Kent helping my mother and father with a few things, and I've just stopped on my way home back up to where I live near Watford to take some refreshment, but also to record this so that I can get this down for today, get this uploaded. And today what I want to talk about in Quiet Time Coaching is the topic of silence. Psalm 62 verse 1 and Psalm 65 verse 1. How to succor your soul with silence. The significance of silence. Do you like silence? Do you enjoy it? Do you run away from it? Do you embrace it? How do you feel about the whole issue of silence? I believe that it's one of the ways that God can nourish our souls, but how and in what way? And that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, I have a love-hate relationship with silence, I must admit. Some of the time, I really enjoy it. Other times, I avoid it. My general nature is when I'm around the house, walking around, doing errands, I have my phone in my pocket and a podcast is blaring from the pocket. I like to listen to things as I walk around and do things. The same thing's true when I'm driving. I love catching up with podcasts. Or when I'm even in the shower, one of my favorite places, I have a shower-proof phone protector my wife gave me, and I have a shower-proof Bluetooth speaker that my daughter gave me, and so I can listen to podcasts to my heart's content while I scrub away in the shower. Anyway, too much information. I do love podcasts. Podcasts everywhere, a veritable soundstorm of them, but is it healthy? Sometimes I think I overdo it, and I wonder if you overdo it too in terms of sound, or underdo the value of silence. And I've had to learn this, and I think I'm continuing to have to relearn it from time to time. Occasionally, sometimes I admit that I have so much sound around me to drown out what silence is trying to tell me. That still, small voice is trying to get to my ears and to my heart, but I don't want it to. Does that happen for you as well? This came home to me again yesterday. As I said, I've been visiting my parents, and here down there in rural Kent, let's just say that broadband isn't terribly broad. The signal wasn't very good. I needed to upload a video file, and it was quite a large one, a really big one. So I tethered my phone to my laptop and used it as a hotspot rather than suck all the life out of my parents' Wi-Fi signal. And I had to leave it there attached to my laptop all morning, which meant I walked around all morning, no phone, no podcast. I went into the garden, did some errands. I walked around. I pruned a pear tree, I deadheaded rose bushes, I gathered leaves, I picked up fallen branches, put them on the bonfire pile, and quite a lot more. And I was in silence, apart from the odd bird twittering here and there, and it was wonderful. It was wonderful to have that break from noise, and I realized how much I miss that. It was a good lesson for me. That's also on my mind because of something I read the other day. I read Christianity Today magazine, and there was an article in the recent edition by Sandra McCracken. And she wrote, her topic was, Our Silence, Music to His Ears. And she focused on Psalm 65, verse 1, and she says, and I'll quote this, she says, many translations and paraphrases of Psalm 65, verse 1 reference praise with an emphasis on silence. And that's not something I think we often put together, is it? Praise and silence. She went on to say, Duke Bible scholar Ellen Davis once translated it as, this is Psalm 65 verse 1, to you, O Lord, silence is praise. Silence is praise. Now Eugene Peterson, who did the Message version of the Bible, translates that verse like this: silence is praise to you, Zion-dwelling God, and also obedience. You hear the prayer in it all. God hears the prayer in our obedience. God hears the prayer in our silence. Silence is praise to you. What an interesting idea. McCracken, in her article, goes on to say, and I'll quote this, in silence, prayer comes up as wordless petitions and attentive expectation. In this, we affirm that prayer is a two-way conversation. Silence is the waiting posture that helps us to be poised to hear God's voice. You might like to pause the podcast, rewind it, and listen to that again, but I think it's a wonderful paragraph. Silence is the waiting posture that helps us to be poised to hear God's voice. We're privileged to hear God's voice through his word, but we need to hear it. What is it about our silence, about silence, that opens our ears to God's voice? Well, I believe it creates the conditions for the decluttering of our minds. Another book I really like called The Virgin Eye by Robin Daniels. In it, he says this: silence is not the absence of sound. Rather, sound is the absence of silence. Silence is primary. I think we all tend to think of sound as primary, but he says, no, silence is primary. We need it. We need silence, in other words, more than we need sound. Perhaps he's right. So we believe that God wants a relationship with us, right? He waits for us, therefore, to be silent so that he can speak. If we don't give him silence, how can he speak to us? Until the noise of life is tamed, we're in no position to listen to the one who gave us life. In this sense, silence is primary. It is. It's necessary for us to be able to receive. Daniels in the Virgin Eye goes on to say, if we have learned to be silent before the word, we shall also balance our silence and speech through the day, during the day. We'll get that balance between speaking and being silent through the day if we learn to do it before God's word. In other words, silence isn't really the goal. Silence is a means to hearing God's word and carrying it with us throughout the day. Silence is not passive. It's not an opening to nothingness. Silence is active and focused. That's the idea. It's a conduit. Silence is a conduit to living a life of substance. Daniel says one more time, if we do not keep attuning to silence, we lose gravitas. We become lightweight. How do we access the promised spiritually enriching sound of silence? Well, I will give you four suggestions here, beginning and end. Here are some suggestions for making the most of the spiritual discipline of silence. Four things. Number one, quality, not quantity. Quality, not quantity. In other words, 1 minute of silence, regularly enjoyed, is better than sporadic, long periods of silence. The regularity of it creates the right conditions for us to be able to receive from God, even a minute. You may think a minute is not enough, but a minute is a lot, especially if you're not used to silence. A minute feels like a long time. Just 1 minute. Quality, not quantity. Number two, focus on the word. One verse, just read one verse. Read it, meditate on it, pray over it, think about it, allow it to marinate there in silence, seeping into your soul. Just one verse, meditate, focus on the word. Number three, begin each prayer time with a moment of silence. Before you say Father, before you say God, before you say anything else, stop for a moment and perhaps have that 1 minute of silence, allowing yourself, preparing yourself to be in the right position to be able to hear from God as well as to speak to him. Begin with silence. And the fourth thing is, on the other end of it, end with silence. End your prayer times with silence. I wrap my prayer times up generally with asking God to answer these prayers or offering to them in the name of Jesus for his glory, according to his will and those things. But how about ending with 1 minute of silence? Pray your prayers, give him your praise, your adoration, your requests, and then give him a minute of silence before you finally say, Amen. Four suggestions there for making the most of silence. They're simple. Remember that it's about quality, not quantity, to focus on the word, to begin with silence, and to end with silence. Now, what do you think about all these things? Are there some things I've missed? Are there some things you think of when you think of silence? What about Bible characters? I think of Elijah. I think of Moses and David out there in the desert with the sheep. I think there was a lot of silence in their lives. And I think about Jesus in Luke 5:16. He often withdrew to lonely places or solitary places and prayed. He felt the need for silence. I think we might need it too. Psalm 62 has a similar idea, just to finish off. Psalm 62, verse 1. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. Let's wait in silence and let God speak. So, any other ideas you have on this? Any particular tips for enjoying and employing silence as part of our quiet time and devotional routines? Is there anything I've missed? Anything you'd like to emphasize? I would really value your comments. Please leave them here wherever you see or hear this recording, because we learn best when we learn in community. I've got one last favor to ask. Could you please pass the link on to this recording to one other person? just one other person who might benefit from learning a bit about the value of silence to connect us with our great God. Well, until the next time we speak, or the next time you read my blog, or the next time you hear my podcast, I thank you for listening, and I pray that you'll have a wonderful week of quality quiet times. Take care, and God bless.